Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, and that we would truly hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That's what the crowds who join Jesus, they shout as Jesus enters Jerusalem. That's how our service begins outside in this nice warm weather. The King is here. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Finally, he is here. Now we will have peace. But before the week is out, that shout of joy turns to the cry of agony as Jesus is betrayed and crucified. Even this service itself makes us feel some of that rapid shift, because we come in waving palm branches and singing all glory, laud, and honor, and as soon as the song is over and we're at our seats, we already are hearing about the cross, where everything apparently goes wrong. So this is Palm Sunday, and this is a day that we remember what we call the triumphal entry, when Jesus comes in triumphantly and is declared as king as he enters Jerusalem. But it's also a day when we look ahead to Good Friday, when our King Jesus dies a criminal's death on the cross. And that's the piece that I want us to ponder today. It's not Good Friday yet. Yes, I can read a calendar. It's not Good Friday yet, and that is its own special day and very somber service, and I hope that you will come. But I want to invite us to start thinking about today, start thinking about what's actually going to be coming this week. Thinking about ahead of time, so as we enter into and live out Holy Week, we're more ready to enter in more fully. So, what's so good about Good Friday? What we see culminating in our readings today, what we see culminating in Good Friday is anything but good. Throughout our reading from Luke 22 and 23, that was what was read up here, we see the travesty of justice. We see Jesus' innocence so clearly throughout the reading, and yet he is condemned to a gruesome execution. Pilate, the governor, admits Jesus has done nothing wrong, and yet still condemns him to be crucified. The Roman soldier at the end, after Jesus dies, declares, "Certainly this man was innocent." On the cross, the innocent is declared guilty, and love is killed by hate, and the author of life dies. And yet, Christians have come to refer to that day as Good Friday, and we commemorate it each year as such. We simply cannot ignore it or skip over it. And to go from the joy and the praise of Palm Sunday all the way to the triumph of Easter without Good Friday simply will not do. So what's so good about it? Well, a phrase has been bouncing around in my head this year, looking ahead, looking towards Holy Week, and especially looking forward a few days from now to Good Friday. Good Friday is good because in it, through the death of Jesus, the curse is reversed. That phrase has just been bouncing around in my head, that God reverses the curse that we were under. Through Jesus' death on the cross, the curse that we as sinners are under is reversed. It's undone in Jesus. It's undone not through anything that we do ourselves. It's undone not through some great military victory, but it's undone through the epitome of injustice done to the holy and just God himself, when innocence is declared guilty and love is killed by hate and the author of life dies. But it is through Jesus' death that our curse, that our tragic situation that we brought on ourselves, it is through his death that all of that is undone. All people, by nature of being people, we have set ourselves up as God's enemies, as the Bible says, with no way for us to help ourselves. And all who turn to Jesus in faith and trust and allegiance and receive his gift of grace are experiencing this curse undone. So all the way back at the beginning of the Bible, back in the book of Genesis, humanity sins against God, and there are devastating consequences. As a result, we're separated from God. We're no longer able to be in communion with him in the way that we were supposed to. The man and the woman, Adam and Eve, are punished. And then, if we have eyes to see it, through the crucifixion event, which we read about today, we see that that curse, that that situation is being undone by Jesus. And so I just want to point out a few ways that we can see that through this event. So back in Genesis, back at the beginning of the Bible, page 2 in the Bible when everything goes wrong, that's how long we lasted. Back in Genesis, after Adam and Eve sin, God says to Eve, to the woman, that part of her punishment for the sin that she and her husband committed, part of her punishment is that her pain in childbearing will greatly increase. Now, you ladies who have had children, especially you crazy ones like my wife who did it without any pain medication, you know that full well. But the pain in childbearing actually becomes part of the punishment, but it also then becomes part of the reminder of our sin and separation from God. Even the joy of children is touched by the sin of humanity. And yet, it is through the child, through Jesus, through the child, that this curse is being undone. The curse touches on the bearing of children, and the Son of God, born in that physical way, is himself the solution. In Jesus, the curse is being undone. And then back in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sin against God, God then turns to Adam, turns to the man. Now, men don't bear children, thanks be to God. That's not something I need to do, thank you. But Adam is then told that the ground is cursed because of him, that the ground that he has to work will no longer cooperate. The ground will produce bad things as well as good, and it will be hard work to make a living and hard work to make the land productive. And it says that God curses the ground because of the sin of the man and the woman. And here at the crucifixion, here on a hill known as the place of the skull, here where Jesus is lifted up from the earth to die in shame, part of that cursed ground, a tree, becomes the place where the curse is being reversed. Cursed is the ground because of you, God says to Adam, and here that cursed ground becomes the tool by which Jesus bears the curse for us. There's even a place in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy where God specifically lays the groundwork for the way that Jesus is going to die, telling them that cursed is anyone who is hung to die on a tree. That specific act signals bearing the curse of God. And here is Jesus on the cross, God incarnate, bearing that curse for us, hanging on a cursed tree, lifted up from the cursed ground, undoing the curse for us. The curse given to Adam and Eve is being undone. And then lastly, I want us to see that the ultimate punishment on humanity is being reversed. In Genesis, Adam and Eve live in the paradise that God has created for them. And they live in sweet communion with God in a way that we can only imagine. Yet they choose mutiny against God, wanting to be like him themselves in ways that they were not meant to, ways that are not good for them. And they are banished from the garden. They're separated from God, and one day they will experience the most unnatural thing, death. And here on the cross, hanging next to Jesus, a criminal puts his faith in Jesus. It is never too late to repent and turn to Jesus. And here is this unnamed man who trusts in Jesus. And Jesus replies to that man with the ultimate words, declaring that the curse is being undone. He says to this man as they die together, today you will be with me in paradise. The very thing that has been destroyed by humanity through our sin is being restored in Jesus. Through the death of Jesus, the way is being made for us to be brought back into paradise and back into communion with God. Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise, he promises. The curse is undone, and in Jesus, we are given eternal life. In place of death, life. In place of this separation, communion. And in place of enmity, love. In Jesus, the wrongdoing of humanity is undone. And sign after sign is given to us that in Jesus, wrong is being made right. The world is being transformed. And when we trust in him, we are brought home in him. So what's so good about Good Friday? Let's watch and see.
Good Friday. How can one describe such a day? The wrongdoing of all humanity, putting to an end an innocent man, the Son of God. This is the story of Jesus' death by way of a cross, all in one moment bringing death to the bright light of our future. He never stopped loving us, and yet this is the incredible part of it. Our sin stopped his heart. Our sin drove the nails firmly in the hands of God. All along, these were the plans. We told ourselves that we were in control, and this was deemed sufficient for all of us. The brutal beating, the inhuman flogging, the naked humiliation. Heaven watched and saw it all. Our rebellion, our guilt, our shame, erasing the very notion of reconciling us with God. Our sin and our debt, overcoming Jesus. Here is our King, obliterated. The enemy laughing, his plans unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of freedom rising. Now God's people are utterly broken. Behold the chains of mortality. Yes, this is what is true. We had heard the stories of old. The lost are found, the blind can see, the weak are made strong. But now we are witnesses to this reality. God is dead. We'd almost believed there is a way of redemption. There is a life of fulfillment. There is a peace beyond understanding. Now we know better. For us, we can say that God is encapsulated in this one realization. The single greatest sacrifice in human history is finished. How clearly we can see it. So what's so good about Good Friday? Of Jesus can reverse the curse of sin and raise the dead to life. How clearly we can see it is finished. The single greatest sacrifice in human history encapsulated in this one realization. We can say that God is for us. Now we know better. There is a peace beyond understanding. There is a life of fulfillment. There is a way of redemption. We had almost believed God is dead, but now we are witnesses to this reality. The weak are made strong. The blind can see. The lost are found. We had heard the stories of old. Yes, this is what is true. The chains of mortality utterly broken. Behold, freedom rising. Now God's people are unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of the enemy laughing, his plans obliterating. Here is our King, Jesus, overcoming our sin and our debt, reconciling us with God, erasing the very notion of our rebellion. our shame. Heaven watched and saw it all, the naked humiliation, the inhuman flogging, the brutal beating, and this was deemed sufficient for all of us. We told ourselves that we were in control. All along, these were the plans firmly in the hands of God. Our sin drove the nails, our sin stopped his heart, and yet this is the incredible part of it. He never stopped loving us. The bright light of our future all in one moment, bringing death to death by way of a cross. This is the story of Jesus, the Son of God, an innocent man putting to an end the wrongdoing of all humanity. How can one describe such a day?